everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick is on the road today, taking some well-deserved time off, and Tony is here with me. We've got some fun news to jump into. Let's go straight to one of the big pieces of news from the week. Microsoft is asking shareholders to vote on whether to assess Bitcoin as a corporate treasury asset. Of course, the ever-enlightened board is recommending a no vote. But it's not up to them. It's going to be up to the shareholders. I'll be curious to see what the outcome of this is. Tony, what do you make of this, and what do you think is going to happen if you were to pull out your crystal ball?
Well, first of all, I'm not too thrilled that Microsoft is looking at Bitcoin. I've never liked them as a company. I want them as far away from Bitcoin as possible. But this is inevitable. I mean, all these companies at some point, they're going to have to come to Bitcoin, whether they like it or not, because they're public companies and they've got shareholders, and these shareholders are paying attention to Bitcoin. And if they want it, well, you know, they're going to have to bend the knee and comply. Now, why would they recommend a no? You know, the board is saying they're going to recommend a no. I mean, that should raise some red flags there. Like, what kind of lunatic would, you know, who would say no to Bitcoin other than having some bad intentions or some uninformed mindset behind this? It makes absolutely no sense. I hope, just to spite the board, that the shareholders vote yes, so that they have to do it, you know, just as a big, you know, giving the board the finger. And that'll sort of trigger a copy paste effect, you know, most likely across the industry. You'll start seeing other companies like, hey, wait a minute, we want this as well. And then, you know, that's when this suddenly, you know, picks up speed and goes for it. Why the board would say no, really, that's a puzzler for me. Either these people are so so entrenched in the fiat world, that's where their wealth and their riches are, they want nothing to disrupt it, and they somehow assume Bitcoin will, and they want to stay away with it, thinking that if they do that, they won't be affected, which is silly. Who knows, man? It'll be interesting to see the outcome of this. But like I said, I hope the shareholders vote yes, just to spite the board, and to see how that plays out.
Yeah, some of this is puzzling to me, because on one hand, for this to even be a voting matter, somebody had to bring this to their attention, right? Like someone who understands Bitcoin and thinks it ought to be considered. Now, BlackRock, I think, is maybe a top two or three shareholder, and they obviously have a vested interest in Bitcoin's success. But if you look at the others, most of them aren't necessarily, you know, I think Vanguard is maybe one of the top. They don't care. They opted out of the ETF. But it's interesting. I guess my confusion though is they've opted for no as a board recommendation. To me, that I don't know anyone who studied Bitcoin for any reasonable amount of time and thought this is a bad idea. And so to me, it's like the board has come to a recommendation, a conclusion based on very little knowledge. Right? Because if they studied Bitcoin, they'd done their due diligence, they would have read the Bitcoin standard and all said, okay, this makes sense. I need to learn more about it. Maybe look at MicroStrategy. Now I think it's probably going to be a no vote ultimately, because, you know, if you run into 100 people on the street, what percentage of them, how many of them have studied Bitcoin, are into Bitcoin? Maybe one, two, you know, three, if you pick the right 100 people. And so I'm betting it's going to be a no vote. And I think we're in sort of a bubble, assuming that everyone's paying attention to MicroStrategy. I don't think everyone is. The only thing that I think could potentially shift the sentiment on something like this is maybe BlackRock's influence. And I'll be curious to see if it does. But I guess the bad news is the institutions seem to be here, whether we like it or not. But you're right, it was inevitable, so nothing to complain about. The good news is I do think that, you know, as we think about like the appreciation and the purchasing power of Bitcoin over the coming years, the institutions are only going to be helpful to that. So, you know, if you're a number go up person, which I think misses a lot of the point of Bitcoin, the fact that they're even voting on this and discussing it, I think is a sign of the times. You know, like Bitcoin adoption on a much broader scale is here. Whether it happens with this vote, I think in December or not, is another matter. But these conversations are going to become mandatory, I think, amongst boards, and hopefully more of them do a good job of educating themselves. I mean, it's interesting because like Microsoft's been pretty innovative on the AI front. I can't remember if they're just a major shareholder of ChatGPT or if they are OpenAI or if they bought it or what the situation is. I don't really follow it, but they're like pretty cutting edge on that frontier. And now they're dropping the ball on the greatest monetary revolution that's happening right before their eyes.
Well, I don't know if they're innovative in the sense that you're thinking. I think they're innovative in being very intrusive. Their latest Windows recall is essentially recording the screen activities of all its users. So I don't know how innovative that is. I think that's disgusting what they're doing. So it just gives you, just sheds a light of, you know, on the company, the people behind it, the culture, which is something that I'm not a very big fan of. But Bitcoin related, any company, any institution that adopts Bitcoin sooner rather than later will have a monumental advantage over those that don't, which will fall like very fall behind or get completely destroyed by their competition from those that do adopt it ahead of time and, you know, have their heads screwed on right.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm not complimenting their advanced tracking capabilities, which they seem to always want to implement. But if you look at useful functionality that a lot of people are looking for, for better or for worse, like Apple's Siri absolutely sucks. And Microsoft's making a lot of headway into AI, and I think using it much in a much more effective way and integrating it with their products. I think there are a lot of consequences to that, but I think people are going to use it anyway. But yeah, we'll have to just wait and see what happens with time will tell. All righty, on to the next one. Michael Saylor backtracking on his self-custody comments. Not officially backtracking. I don't think he's apologized or said I was wrong, but now he's, you know, promoting the benefits of self-custody. He reshared one of Matthew Crater's videos on, and if you watch the video, it's about 9 minutes long, but I'd encourage everyone to watch it. One of the things he talks about early on is that, you know, not your keys, not your coin. The challenge with custodians is it really brings centralization to, not to the network itself, but to the Bitcoin ecosystem. Tony, what are your thoughts on Michael Saylor's, he was doubling down on Bitcoin banks and the importance of custodians in a Bitcoin world. And now he's talking about why self-custody matters.
Yeah, well, that didn't play out, I think, the way he hoped it would. He got eaten alive, you know, in the space after making that comment. I don't think Michael Saylor has bad intentions, honestly. I think he's been a very good energy in Bitcoin. Now, his latest comments recently, you know, his narrative has shifted a little bit, you know, which sounds like he's sort of trying to extend the lifeline of the legacy system, which is something that goes completely against the whole Bitcoin ethos. And him saying or trying to demonize, you know, self-custody and those that, you know, favor it as some sort of bad people or things, people with bad intentions, well, that's completely wrong. And I was very pleased to see the uproar and reaction of, you know, the community pertaining to this comment, as they should. You know, when somebody says something that's nonsense, it doesn't matter who it is, they should be called out and it should be corrected, because the message is in Bitcoin. It's definitely not created to extend the lifeline and bad habits of the old system. It is 100% created to replace it by good habits. So it's there where there's no banks. There's no yield. There's none of that rubbish that we've been accustomed to using for decades on end. None of that should exist in a pure utopian Bitcoin world. Now, will that happen? Probably not in the short term, because human nature is what it is. And people, you know, sort of like lean to what they've always known without giving it much thought. You know, the percentage of the population that thinks outside the box and does the work in order to improve is, you know, significantly smaller than those that just take the path of least resistance. So from the perspective that Michael Saylor was speaking, will there be a market of people that will adopt custodians? Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of, you know, silly people that don't think and just keep doing what they've always known, you know, whether they get destroyed or not, they're not thinking about that, because it takes more effort for them to learn something new than to risk their funds, you know, and pray that it doesn't get, that they don't lose them, because, you know, they assume there's good people behind the scenes doing all the managing. These are bad habits. But then again, he corrected his message saying that he supports self-custody and especially the right to self-custody for those that want and are able to do it, which is fine. Those that want to trust third-party custodians, as silly as we may think it is, well, you know, that's their right as well. So if they want to go down that path, be my guest. If you run into a problem, that's your problem, your responsibility. You introduce that risk. hopefully you'll learn from it. But again, it's really comes down to freedom of choice. You want to go down the full self-custodial road, good. You don't want, that's also good. It should be really the option to choose is available for everyone. Nobody should be demonized for their choices. You can have your own opinions, that's fine, but nobody should be demonized or labeled as, you know, as a criminal or what have you, just because they understand that the true revolution is 100% self-custody with zero reliance on anyone or any institution, bar none.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think I've probably said this in other videos. I've certainly said it offline to you guys, but I think Saylor was onto something with his comments to the extent that he was talking about the probability of Bitcoin banks and Bitcoin financial institutions existing. I think in a free market, I think there are going to be a lot of people who opt out of the freedom benefits of Bitcoin for that feeling of security. You know, that like, oh, someone else is taking care of this, because so many people are so accustomed to that, and I believe missing the point. But I think he's going to do very well with this approach. And I think my complaint with his previous comments was sort of the vilification of the quote unquote crypto anarchists who are pushing against that, folks like ourselves, who find it to be a far, far inferior option for most people. But, you know, I think he probably, again, he's not a bad guy. He recognizes that there are people like us who want the freedom benefits of Bitcoin. And we just got a message this morning from one of our clients that they've got their Bitcoin with a third party custodian. And there's like, they were trying to like pay an invoice or something. And it's like, hey, we have a 7-day, you know, review period. It's like, first of all, what the hell are they doing for 7 days? And second, is that really this freedom money that we talk about? Is that really the way you want it to function, that you're still beholden to their terms and their rules? It's just, it's such a violation of some of the founding principles of Bitcoin. I also found it telling with his comments. I think you're right. He got a lot of pushback. It was apparent to me, though, who the people were who weren't pushing back and who were supporting him or excusing, or, hey, you misunderstood or, you know, misinterpreted what he was trying to say. It was two types of people. It was custodians, or people who want you to send one of your keys to them. And then it was people who have been, and I don't mean this, this probably sounds derogatory, and that's not my intent, but who have more or less been shilling Saylor as kind of a savior or a figurehead of the Bitcoin space. And I agree, he's been a net positive, I think, for Bitcoin adoption, and appreciate some of the, you know, especially earlier comments he's made on Bitcoin in a very public way. But people tend to have a bias toward what they've been defending and promoting. And so you've got a lot of people who have been talking up Saylor for a couple of years now. They're not very quickly going to step back and say, oh, I guess I was wrong. So hopefully the pushback on those more previous comments, you know, continue. And I hope that he's changed his tune moving forward, that, you know, let the free market play out, and, you know, hopefully more and more people take full self-custody. We got one last thing, and I'm anxious to hear your opinion on this one, Tony. So Lynn Alden, so she makes an interesting point. Everyone should go read this in its entirety, but she talks about how gold was confiscated with the 6102, Executive Order 6102 back in the 1930s. And she made a point, if a small family hodled some extra bars of gold for 40 years until it became legal again, they did okay. But she said, more or less, people are too concerned about this confiscation risk. She's like, what if it's a 70% selective tax on Bitcoin or something like that? Because that's a lot easier within the current rule of law. And it's a, you know, the more sophisticated approach versus getting just violent uproar from the Bitcoin community and people who hold Bitcoin because suddenly their asset has been completely prohibited. Do you agree that, you know, something like a massive tax on Bitcoin is maybe more likely? What do you think that the implications of something like that are?
Well, look, I mean, of course they're going to try. I mean, people that are freaking out over this, I think they don't have a fundamental understanding of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is peer-to-peer technology. You cannot stop it. Okay, governments know this very well, I think, by now. And so the only thing they can do is sort of try to fearmonger those that are still ignorant about this into believing certain things that are not necessarily true. So how are you going to tax something that, first of all, it doesn't belong to you? So what is the authority of any government to tax Bitcoin? It's not their product. It's not their money. They don't own it. They don't control it. So by what rule of law are they going to tax it? Now, they can tell you if you convert it to their shitty fiat, then you have to play by their rules. Then, okay, fine. Then you have to abide by those laws. But if you're not converting to their local currency, then why would you pay anything? And, you know, selectively choosing Bitcoin, sort of like to vilify Bitcoiners to make them think that they owe a tax, is absurd. Now, if people are silly enough to believe that and comply, well, then, you know, they will lose their money and that'll be that. It'll be a lot easier for governments to confiscate the Bitcoin in custodians, you know, like, for example, everybody who has their money in an ETF, for example, or has left it on an exchange. Those people are no different than those that have money in a bank. Within 2 seconds, the money can be seized, taken away, stolen, done. But those that are holding their keys in full self-custody, as you should be, because that is the revolution. That is the one and only reason Bitcoin was created. Remember, it's full self-custody to restore the power of time and energy to every single individual, but you have to learn how to do it. Those that are doing this, they're not going to give up their money. And if any one country becomes very coercive about this, people are going to vote with their feet. And they're just going to give them the finger and leave, just like it has been done in many other, you know, jurisdictions before the U.S. So if the U.S. is adamant on alienating every single, you know, Bitcoiner in the United States, well, you know, they will carry on this trajectory. I don't think they will be successful at all, because smart money, you know, eventually does what it has to do and will leave to other jurisdictions which are not doing this nonsense. There are plenty of options worldwide now that welcome Bitcoiners with, you know, more attractive tax incentives, or some of them that have no tax on Bitcoin. So why would you voluntarily choose to stay in a country that's just a headache, right? So again, whether they do this or not, that's to be seen. Personally, I think if they do take that approach, it's a lose-lose, you know, on a much bigger scale, because usually when people leave, they don't come back. You leave a bad taste in their mouth. Like, for example, I left Lebanon after, you know, they tried to ruin my life. Now I have no intentions of ever going back. You know, even though the country lives in my heart, I will never set foot there. Not as long as that garbage is still in power. As soon as they're wiped out and no longer in existence, maybe if I'm still around, I'll consider going back. And that's usually the same path that people take once they're pushed beyond a certain point. They don't want to go back. You know, like the country, the patriotism will live in their hearts, but their feet will be elsewhere. And so whether, you know, this plan plays out, is it a possibility? Yes, of course it's a possibility. You're dealing with a criminal cartel. Anything is possible to stay in power. I don't think it's successful. Anyone that takes 5 minutes to study Bitcoin to understand that technology, the way it was intended, that you cannot stop Bitcoin. Peer-to-peer electronic cash. It cannot be stopped. It's almost as ridiculous as saying, I'm going to stop the wind from blowing or the sun from shining. Once you understand that, you know that there's nothing out there that can lose your Bitcoin other than you. But only if, and really only if, you hold it in 100% self-custody. Not if you're sharing a key with a company or holding it with a custodian or doing any of that nonsense for the sake of convenience or the illusion that somehow it's safer. It is not safer. It is an unnecessary counterparty risk that you are introducing to yourself under the guise of, you know, not wanting to do the work. But at some point, if things get bad enough, and I think they just might, at least in the short term, it's going to come back and bite you in the ass, and there's nothing you can do at that point once the damage is done.
Yeah, I like to look at sort of the path that we seem to be on. And, you know, I think about, like, we have, you know, in the US, which tends to be sort of, we tend to set like a benchmark for what a lot of other countries follow. And in what, 10, 11 days, we've got an election coming up. I think it seems very likely that we end up with an administration who is friendly or at least apathetic to this stuff for 4 years. if that coincides with a strong bull market, which I think, you know, again, not the important thing, but I think it gets a lot of attention from normies when the number starts going up. Over the next 4 years, we might really have the opportunity for a much higher percentage of the population to begin adopting Bitcoin as some piece of their puzzle, their financial puzzle. And if so, and we also have the tailwind of an administration that's not going to clamp down on that, 4 years from now, it might be very difficult to do something like this, because you have such a large group of the population who has a vested interest in Bitcoin working out. And my hope is that it would become politically untenable for them to slap on a 70% tax, or certainly to try confiscation. Now, the key here is self-custody, because it will always, if 80% of the Bitcoin is sitting at, you know, MicroStrategy Bank or Coinbase or wherever, it will always be easy to 6102 that. We don't have to be on a Bitcoin standard for them to say we want to they can confiscate it for other reasons, like it's a threat to the Federal Reserve. You know, it doesn't have to be our dollars are backed by Bitcoin or something. So the more we can push people to self-custody and give them the ability to vote, because you can't vote with your feet and leave with your Bitcoin if it's sitting at Coinbase and Coinbase has a 60-day withdrawal period. And oh, by the way, the government's telling Coinbase not to give out any of the Bitcoin that they owe to people. You know, it's not going to work. So the longer we can push off the Bitcoin bank thing, I think the better. Down the road, if that needs to exist for certain people, fine, whatever. But self-custody in the short term is, I think, the antidote to a lot of those concerns, at least in my view.
Yeah, 100% agreed. And besides, you know, the countries that will attract Bitcoiners are going to flourish in ways that are, you know, we haven't seen before. And that's going to shine like bright everywhere. People worldwide will take notice of why certain places are such amazing, like quality of life and innovations and what have you. And they're going to wonder why they're still in a shithole, right? And eventually, you know, that tide turns as well, because nobody wants a bad quality of life. Everybody wants the greener grass, right? They don't want the dry and stale, the stale one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's the game theory. I always paraphrase it because I can't remember the exact quote, but something Saifedean talks about is effectively you can't outrun the best form of money. If your adversary or others are using it, eventually people are going to migrate to exchanging value in that economy versus yours, and you're going to be forced onto it. It's the same reason I think it was China was on a silver standard for a long time. Mm. Well, gold was harder money. It was perceived to be more valuable by more people in other countries for a variety of properties. And eventually the world made their way to a gold standard and not a silver standard. Bitcoin is the exact same thing. It's just a matter of time, understanding, and adoption, especially at the nation state level, that I think makes that a reality. So someone's hand is going to be forced eventually, because someone else is going to make the right decision and massively benefit their economy and their populace. We don't know how long it's going to be.
Man, Bitcoin is bigger than electricity and the internet combined. Do you understand? This is so huge. Like, no one has any idea how massively revolutionary something like decentralized money is. The world has never seen it. Like, if you think you have the seven wonders of the world, pack them all together, Bitcoin surpasses all of them, in my opinion, in terms of the effect that it's going to have on humanity going forward.
Amen. All righty, Tony, I think that's a good place to wrap for everyone listening. Really appreciate you tuning in. As always, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We would love to talk with you about how we can help you take proper self-custody. We need more and more people doing this. Don't trust a custodian. You can do it. We can teach you. If you want a plan B, if you want to be able to vote with your feet more readily, we've got a plan B residency option. We help set up privacy phones. We help with your online privacy. Just some unbelievable tools for your self-sovereignty toolkit. Again, thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We hope you'll schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team, and look forward to talking with you all soon. Tony, as always, absolute pleasure. Looking forward to doing this again in a few days.
Thank you, Michael. Same here.